Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Gurmeel Mugal Fishin, Orla. Now, President Michael D. Higgins and Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, as you've been hearing, have said that they raised the issue of human rights in China with Chinese Premier Li Qiang on his visit to Dublin today. It comes as China has reopened its market to Irish beef after exports were suspended late last year due to the detection of an atypical BSE case in a cow during routine Department of Agriculture tests. Well, for more on this, I'm joined by the Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConlogue, and Aintu leader Pather Tobin. You're both very welcome to the programme. Minister, I might come to you first of all for your reaction to today's announcement. Welcome by farmers. I know you've been working on this for some time.
Yeah, it's a very welcome announcement, Cormac. Obviously, access to markets around the world are really important for our Irish farm families and for the food production that happens right across our country. We've exported about 70 countries, but China in particular is a really important market. It's our sixth largest market, and we got access for beef there, first of all, back in 2018. It was temporarily stopped in the 7th of November just passed as a result of an atypical BSE case. So we've been working with the Chinese authorities since then to provide the documents they need and the epidemiological reports that they need as well to make sure that market could resume.
And how much work went into, and it took, sorry, how much work went into convincing them that it was okay to export again?
A lot of engagement. My team engaged in great depth with them, and we were working with our ambassador in China there as well, indeed with the embassy here in Dublin. This is the second time it happens, because these atypical cases can happen, do happen sporadically. They're degenerative, where in older animals, we test very thoroughly for them to make sure any that happens are caught. It had happened once previously, and it took 2.5 years on that occasion to get access resumed. On this occasion, it's taken 2.5 months, which is really important for the confidence in the market there, and really important as well in terms of ensuring that we can build it and make sure that in terms of the hard work that our farm families do across this country, that market is open and can be built upon, and to ensure really good and the best possible income for farmers.
In a way, it shows how robust the testing system here is. How quickly can exports restart? Is this straight away immediate?
Yeah, it's immediate as of from today for any factory that is approved for export, of which we have 22 already approved. They can resume and engage and do the pre-notifications now to take up that trade again. So it's really good news indeed, and as a result of the strong engagement we've had, and indeed, but primarily the really strong robust systems that we have in place in this country in terms of food safety, and the quick resumption of the trade is very much recognition of that, and we want to build on that now, working with our food companies in China to make sure we build that market. It had got up to almost €50 million back in 2018, so that's where we want to get it back to there quickly and then build upon it.
Okay, can I bring in Pather Tobin? You welcome this, do you?
Yeah, this is good news. I welcome it. Farmers have been suffering significantly in this country for a long period of time. A full third of farmers are actually making a loss in Ireland or are going into a debt. About another third of farmers are only making a living because there's somebody working off the farm in another job in this country. And only about a third of farmers are actually making a living just from the farm itself. So, you know, this is a little ray of sunshine in what is a very difficult space for farmers in this country at the moment.
Okay. From reading your press release today, though, on this announcement, it didn't seem like you were too happy.
No, obviously there's another big question I think that the government have to tackle too in relation to this, and that is the issue of human rights. And obviously China has a shocking human rights record. We have a situation that's with the Uyghurs in the Xinjiang province at the moment, where, you know, it's one of the biggest human rights disasters since World War II, where we have nearly 1 million people who have been put through labour camps, who have been put through, you know, political education, forced sterilisation. You know, we've seen about 17,000 mosques raised there by the Chinese government. The level of human rights abuses in the Xinjiang province is horrendous. And in the other side of the country, then, we have what's happening in Hong Kong, where, you know, journalists, activists, you know, political operatives are being jailed in their hundreds at the moment. And the normal democratic rights rights that people were used to in Hong Kong have been suspended. And, you know, I do think that this country has a responsibility to make sure that it puts as much pressure as possible it can on other countries to make sure that they fulfill the human rights obligations. Now, I know so, Ireland is a small country.
And you were
country.
Warning the Taoiseach. You said the Premier should not be welcomed as a friend. What did you mean?
Well, I do think that, you know, given the shocking level of human rights abuses that are happening in this country, it's really hard to square that circle that Ireland is has a passive or a very, very friendly relationship with the Chinese Premier. And, you know, given the fact that the Irish government don't seem to be doing anything material in terms of trying to fix these problems, especially through the EU, I think that's a mistake. So, for example, the United States...
Let's bring back the Minister here. What did you do that was material that could make a concrete difference, Minister?
Well, the first thing to say is that given how we conduct our foreign relations and our diplomacy in this country, we punch well above our weight right across the world, and we carry authority and influence as a result of that. And indeed, the fact that a country, the premier of a country 200 times our size in terms of population, visited Ireland today is a reflection of how, even though we're small in terms of population and in terms of our economy compared to many of the larger economies, we do have influence and we do perform very strongly and credibly in relation to how we act diplomatically. So today, the Taoiseach raised that as part, and the issues, particularly in the special autonomous regions, specifically with the with Premier Li. That also happened whenever the Taoiseach visited China in November past. And also, that was one of four ministers, including myself, who visited China last year, and we all also raised those issues. Obviously, China takes a different view and puts forward their response in relation to that.
Minister, but when you say, or the Taoiseach says, it was raised, how?
Well, the Taoiseach raised it directly with the, listening to the Taoiseach's comments afterwards. It was a direct premier-to-premier meeting this afternoon. So I wasn't, or other ministers weren't at that meeting, but the Taoiseach and his comments afterward made it very clear that he raised these issues with Premier Li and put them to him and gave Ireland's view and raised our concerns in relation to the reports in Just relation to a number of issues.
Father calls that a box-ticking exercise.
No, it's certainly not. It's something we do as part of our international relations, and we're very clear on the importance of human rights, and particularly, I mean, in relation to how minorities are treated. So the Taoiseach raised those issues, and again, it's important we do. But the fact that we do
so it's part, it's
have
part
an honest relationship
relations,
with
Potter.
Countries across the world is reflected again in the visit today.
So Pat Leahy of the Irish Times has an interesting article this week where he says that he's interviewed, obviously, diplomats who have been in the room. And, you know, it is the diplomats' version is that these things are mentioned briefly, essentially to allow the government to say that they are raised and that there's kind of a little bit of a dance at the start of a meeting. The government raises the issues and the Chinese raise the fact that they're doing their best to, on certain areas. And that's simply not good enough. So, like, the United States of America have banned products that have been produced in forced labour camps from the Xinjiang province. I don't think that the European Union or Ireland should be buying products that are made by people in forced labour camps.
Sure, the Chinese Premier would say bye-bye beef deal then.
Well, first of all, what I would suggest is that you create a timescale and a negotiation with the Chinese so that these things can be focused upon. So very recently we had a deal that was created by the European Union and the Chinese, which started to look at investment between the two trading blocks. And as part of that investment agreement, they started to focus on issues such as human rights. So
hang on a second. Are you realistically telling the government that they should have told the Chinese Premier, we won't buy your products until you fix the Uyghur situation?
No, what I'm saying to the government is, through the European Union, we should be involved in negotiations with the Chinese to say that over a period of time, that we want to make sure their products are not being created in forced labour camps, that people are not being put into sterilisation immigration camps, re-education camps, you know, that we don't have situations where whole sections of a population are suffering from forced abortions, for example.
I understand all of that, but if you were the minister of the Taoiseach today, you'd have done exactly the same thing on the export deal, would you?
Well, first of all, we would have said it, we would have communicated far stronger, but the point I'm trying to say to you is Cormac, is that absolutely, you're not going to be able to solve anything with, you know, loudhailer diplomacy at a meeting such as today, but you can get the European Union to move to a situation where we no longer take products from the Xinjiang province, and also that future trade developments between the two trading blocks happen on the basis that these human rights issues are resolved over time. And I don't think that would actually put, let's say, the reopening of the beef markets in jeopardy in doing that. I just think that the government have a very, very softly approach in terms of diplomacy. Okay. Even when, and I worked on Richard O'Halloran's case when he was kept in China against his will as a businessman who had been working there. And, you know, I remember discussing with the Chinese ambassador and with this government. The government were incredibly soft in their approach in terms of
Well, they'll deny that and they'll say that it was complex diplomacy.
They'll deny it, but look, it is a fact.
Okay, I do appreciate your contribution, but we're going to end that part of the conversation there with thanks to you, Padraig Tobin, leader of ANCTU. You can text us to let me know where you stand on that one, the human rights question with China, 51551. I'm going to keep the minister for 1 second longer because I want to ask you what was asked, Minister, by independent TD Michael Lowry in the Dáil today in relation to Ross Grey and the migrant accommodation there. He said it was an example of the asylum system in this country that is not working. And people before Prophet TD Breed Smith said the problems seen in Ross Grey in recent days were the government's fault. What's your response?
No, well, I don't agree with that. I think that the government has worked very hard in what has been a very challenging time over the last 18 months as a result of what's happened in Ukraine, in particular, in relation to actually providing shelter and accommodation for so many people, up to 100,000 people over the last 18 months. And the people and communities across the country have been very kind and welcoming in relation to how that has actually happened as well. Obviously, we have particular challenges at the moment. We have real challenges in relation to capacity, and that is providing a difficulty. But a difficulty in terms of the capacity to provide accommodation at the moment. But the government are working our way through that and doing the very best we can.
When the same problems and gripes start turning up time and again, little or no public consultation with the community, overburdened they feel, and a lack of public services to match the demand.
Yeah, no, the government recognises that in some communities in particular, they're playing a more significant role than in other parts of the country. And that's something we want to reflect in relation to how we provide investment and provide services over the time ahead. And that's something that Minister O'Gorman is having engagements with TDs from constituencies as well in relation to how we support that. But I don't think you can take away from the fact, Cormac, that of what the kindness and generosity communities across the country have shown the last 18 months, with 100,000 people provided shelter and safety in a very, very challenging time in terms of the international scenario. That needs to be recognised. But also, it is challenging, and the government are continuing to work to do our best as well, to work with communities and indeed to support communities who are providing a strong welcome for people who very much need it.
We'll leave it there for the moment. Charlie McConlogh, Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, thank you very much indeed. And Padraig Tobin, leader of ANCTU as well.